Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised Second Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 124 of Heroes Unlimited. We're in the hardware section. Now, at last, it's time to get to some real nitty-gritty mad science stuff. Let's talk about building some gadgets. For the last couple of episodes, we've been talking about the Electrical Genius. This is the hardware character who specializes in all kinds of electronic gadgets, computer hacking, and hot wiring, basically anything that has a panel you can take off and then futz with wires. We've established that the Electrical Genius can hack his way into computer networks by hotwiring computers, hotwire telephones, hotwire cable televisions, hotwire robots. Now, finally, on this page, we have the third and fourth special skills for the Electrical Genius, really the keys to this character's iconic superhero abilities. Number one, electronics construction, the actual ability to build electronic gadgets, and evaluate and diagnose electrical systems. This is the ability to understand, operate, diagnose, maybe even find the weaknesses of electrical devices. In an inversion of our normal format, I'm going to start here with what I think is the dumbest thing on this page, simply for its simple wrongness. It's not going to carry an episode, but the evaluate and diagnose electrical systems ability, this is not like some kind of exotic super genius power. This is not like you are, you know, Karnak from the Inhumans only for gadgets and you can, you know, touch a toaster oven's pressure point with one finger and then it explodes and shorts out. This is just, quote, the character can accurately assess the quality of parts, electrical wiring slash work, and electronic devices. He can also figure out the purpose of the machine, how it works, and how to use it, as well as diagnose potential weaknesses and actual problems or flaws. So very simple stuff, the kind of stuff that you would get from like somebody who works at a watch shop. You would go in and maybe if you have a digital watch, then they'd be able to figure out how it operates and maybe what the problem is if the display is having an issue. Hardly superhero material. And yet, the percentile of the hardware electrical genius character, emphasis on the genius there, and hell, emphasis on the electrical there, the starting percentile is 50% plus 5% per level of experience. So while you get better at this fairly quickly, a first level hardware electrical genius character, a character who was so good at fixing watches or toaster ovens that he decided to become a goddamn superhero and fight crime with his electrical ability, has a 50% chance of being able to figure out what's wrong with your digital watch. There is no reason for this number to be so low. You're not going to ruin the GM's carefully constructed campaign by being too good at diagnosing electrical problems or evaluating the quality of electrical components. This ability is purely to give the electrical character a spotlight moment or to sort of facilitate them. They're not even at the mad invention stage yet. They're just trying to go like shop at Radio Shack, because it's 1998, and find the parts to make their invention and look at them in the little blister pack and be like, is this quality craftsmanship? To get that wrong half the time. I mean, I'm enough of an old school gamer to be into useless first level characters, but in a superhero game, this ability, I think it's a little too much. In that case, it's a problem with having a low starting skill ability. Starting at 50% is way too low. Electronics construction, on the other hand, has sort of the opposite problem. It starts at 88% plus 1% per level. So while it starts quite high compared to skills like electrical engineer, which you might otherwise use to create electrical gadgets, it advances much more slowly than skills like that. So while the hardware character does start out pretty decent at being able to create gadgets, it doesn't take long for conventional skills to be as good or almost as good as the hardware character's iconic ability. Even the hardware electrical character will probably stop using this ability and start just rolling electrical engineer at a certain point. This raises the specter of our old friend Olympus Mons, the superpowered volleyball player who happens to be an engineering major, being better at engineering or as good at engineering as our electrical genius character. But before we determine that, let's talk a little bit about what this ability actually does. It says here, quote, with the proper materials, the character can construct, rebuild, combine, and program calculators, computers, stun guns, telephones, radios, cameras, and everything from toasters to electrical engines. It also says here that the cost of doing this is typically 40% less than the list price of buying an item. This is important because a calculation you're going to have to make is, do I buy this or do I build this? given the amount of time it's going to take me to build this gadget. And time is a big, big factor. As we already discussed on a previous page, anything that is your original design takes 2 or 3 hours per penalty point to build. More pressingly for our purposes here, though, anything that involves micronization multiplies the time that an item takes to build by 10. Let's look at an example right from the text. Helpfully, it gives us an example of what the penalty would be to build a quality laptop computer. Let's say you're building a computer of your own design. If you attempted it at first level with your electronics construction skill, your chance of success would be 88 minus 45, which is 43%, less than half. So it would probably take you 2 tries, at least, to get this right. 10-hour days, 7 days a week, it would take 19 weeks and change to build this computer. So if you're playing an Electrical Genius character and you think, hey, you know what would be useful for my character to have? A cool laptop. I'm a computer hacker. I often have to hotwire doors and escalators. Sometimes I have to hotwire people's pagers to get access to their sensitive information. So let me have a cool laptop that I can carry around and do some of this work on the go. So you pitch this to the group. Hey guys, I know we're in the middle of an adventure, but why don't all of our characters take 19 weeks downtime while I work full-time every day on building this laptop? That's not much to ask to add to the campaign timeline. Now, I know what you're thinking. I got some fucking min-maxers in the crowd. My listeners are smart. What you're thinking is, well, that's for your own design, though. You don't need your own design. If you want a powerful laptop, you know, use some commercial software, model it on commercially available designs. You can cut that time down. And it's true. If all you want to do is recreate a high-end commercially available laptop, that's only 45 times 10 hours, 450 hours, 45 10-hour days. Only like a month and a half. This is where our cost-benefit calculation comes into it. Let's say that you want a fairly high-end laptop. Let's say you want a laptop that costs $2,000. Here we're talking about $2,018. You know, speaking of time to create a product, I do not have time to go look up what 1998 laptops cost. That's going to take you a month and a half of downtime. You're going to have to work 10 hours a day, 7 days a week for a month and a half to save $800. And you've still got to spend the other $1,200. You got to work so many hours to recreate these gadgets, you might as well just have a regular job and buy them from a catalog. That said, focusing on items of your own design, let's at last compare our Electrical Genius character, let's call her Zappy McGee, to Olympus Mons, the beautiful, strange-bodied Olympic volleyball player who just happens to be into engineering. At first level, I will grant you, when it comes to hardcore electrical engineering, Zappy McGee has a significant advantage. She's working with an 88% in electronics construction, whereas her electrical engineering skill that she gets for being a hardware character is only at 60%. And Olympus Mons is way down at the bottom at, let's say, a 56%. She's got a plus 20% to her base skill for being a college senior, and I've decided to further refine Olympus Mons and say that she's an experiment character, a super soldier experiment. That would account for some of her miscellaneous bionic stuff, and it allows her to take brain boost, which gives her a plus 6%. Nothing to write home about. But that means she would have a 56% in electrical engineer at first level. However, let's revisit in 5 levels, and we'll see that the story has changed considerably. By level 6, the electronics construction ability has risen to only 93%, whereas Zappy McGee now has her electrical engineering skill up to 85%, and Olympus Mons has it up to 81%. Already these two characters at 6th level, they have skills that have almost caught up to the electronics construction ability. They're within about 10% or so, and this is maybe 2/3 through the campaign. By level 9, which is where most campaigns would end, the construction ability has only risen to 96%, whereas Zappy McGee's just raw electrical engineering skill is up to 98%, and Olympus Mons' electrical engineer skill is 96%, equal to the hardware character's electronics construction ability. You can see where, frustratingly for Zappy McGee, being a quote-unquote electrical genius basically stops being relevant at a certain level. You're just on a par with other people who took electrical skills, except they've also got a boatload of superpowers or a magical sword or whatever. And when we're comparing skill to skill, electrical engineering is best case scenario for Zappy McGee. That's her big thing, right? That's like her big hotshot skill she gets a plus 30% to. She's got optic systems at only plus 20%, surveillance systems at only plus 20%, the same skill bonus that Olympus Mons gets to those skills. So if you're dealing with a character who actually has their bachelor's, or a character like Olympus Mons who has some miscellaneous bonus to skills, like from brain boost, like from just rolling a high IQ, they'll actually be better at the optic skill, the computer programming skill, than Zappy McGee. So granted that I'm cherry picking through levels here, but here's a thing that should never be true and is true. At 9th level, at the apex of their careers and training, Zappy McGee, who has somehow survived through 9 levels of superheroic action when her primary superpower ability is to, like, create small bugs that look like postage stamps, her iconic ability to create said bugs is 97%, whereas Olympus Mons, who 9 levels later is either still in college or never finished her degree, but nonetheless took like a lot of engineering courses, she has a 98%, 1% better than Zappy McGee. What a fucking kick in the teeth to Zappy McGee after 9 levels of struggling through with no superpowers, just a knack for detailed electrical work, that at 9th level, as the campaign ends, Olympus Mons is better than her even at that. And granted, Olympus Mons has been catching up all this time, but even by 7th level, she's closed the gap to less than 10%. The reason I picked the diagnose ability and how low it is to start as the dumbest thing on this page is because it's very simple. It's very straightforward. It should have been an obviously bad decision to whoever designed this foul-smelling grease fire of a power category. It's more subtle, it's more complicated with electronics construction, but when you put all this together, you can see the plight of Zappy McGee. The key thing here, design-wise, and I know I'm deep in the weeds, but this is very frustrating to me. I feel Zappy McGee's pain, so let me lay out the case. I'm primarily limited by how much I can get the GM to put the campaign on hold to build these gadgets, which means the question is less likely to be, can I make this roll, than, okay, I've got 2 weeks that I can just be in the lab working on a gadget before the next adventure. What can I make in that time? And the answer is, if it's of my own design, 2 weeks of 10-hour days is 140 hours. That means I can afford a 10% penalty, which means who gives a flying fuck if I'm 7% better at this than Olympus Mons? Anyway, that's enough griping on behalf of Zappy McGee. Join me tomorrow as we look at some examples of what the electrical genius can build, given that she has infinite time and money and no responsibilities, on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That's ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Art of Escapism, whose work you can find at soundcloud.com/artofescapism. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.